بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسرنا في شبكة بينونة للعلوم الشرعية أن نقدم لكم هذه المادة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، ما بعد، حياكم الله مجددا، وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى لي ولكم التوفيق والقبول والسداد.
The Shaykh, he began praising Allah Ta'ala, beseeching Allah to send a salat and a salam upon the mention of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his family and his companions altogether. And he said, may Allah Ta'ala extend all of your lives, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us tawfiq and uprightness.
كنا تكلمنا في الدرس الماضي عن أحكام العمرة وأركانها وشروطها وواجباتها.
In the last lesson, we spoke about the rulings of Umrah, its arkan, its pillars, its wajibat, and its conditions.
وكذلك تحدثنا عن الإحرام وصفته.
We also spoke about the ihram and its description.
وتكلمنا عن محظورات الإحرام.
And we spoke about as well those things that are impermissible من إحرام.
وكنا وقفنا بعد الذكر لدخول المسجد كما ذكره الشيخ.
And we stopped at the point wherein we mentioned the rulings of entering the masjid as the Shaykh himself has mentioned it.
وهنا بدأ بالركن الثاني من أركان العمرة وهو الطواف.
And now we're going to begin speech regarding the second pillar of Umrah, and it is the tawaf.
لأننا ذكرنا أن أركان العمرة ثلاثة.
As we spoke before, we mentioned that the pillars of Umrah are three.
الإحرام والطواف والسعي.
They are إحرام, تواف, and سعي between الصفا والمروة.
والواجبات ذكرنا أنها اثنان.
And the واجبات of Umrah, we mentioned that they are two in number.
الإحرام من الميقات والحلق والتقصير.
And that is إحرام from the ميقات, as well as shaving or trimming the hair.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: ثم يتقدم إلى الحجر الأسود ليبتدئ الطواف، فيستلم الحجر بيده اليمنى ويقبله، فإن لم يتيسر استلامه بيده فإنه يستقبل الحجر ويشير إليه بيده إشارة ولا يقبلها.
So then the author, may Allah mercy upon him, he mentions, then the mu'tamir, he is to head towards the black stone in order that he may begin his tawaf. And he touches the black stone with his right hand and he kisses it. But if it is not easy for him to touch the black stone, then he is to turn towards the black stone and point to it with his hand as a type of indication of pointing, but he is not to kiss his hand.
والطواف في العمرة أو في غيرها في الحج مثلا له فضل عظيم.
So making tawaf during Umrah or other than that, such as Hajj for example, it has a tremendous virtue.
جاء عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما.
There has come from Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father.
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said.
من طاف بهذا البيت أسبوعا يعني سبعة أشواط.
That whoever makes tawaf around this house seven units.
فأحصاه يعني أكمله وأتمه.
And he does well in them and he completes them.
كان كعتق رقبة.
It is as though he has freed a slave.
لا يضع قدما ولا يرفع أخرى.
He does not lift one foot or put down the other foot.
إلا حط الله عنه بها خطيئة وكتب له بها حسنة.
Except that Allah Ta'ala will remove from him a sin and elevate him or write one good deed for him.
إلى غير ذلك من الفضائل الواردة في الطواف.
And other than this from the virtues that have come regarding tawaf.
كما جاء في الحديث في طواف الإفاضة.
As it come regarding the hadith of the tawaf of Hajj.
أنه بعد ذكره لفضائل الأعمال أعمال يوم العيد في الحج.
After mentioning some of his virtues and that it is from the good things that is done on the day of Eid during Hajj.
قال ويطوف وليس عليه ذنب.
And he mentions, and the one who makes tawaf, there being no sin upon him.
وأما شروط الطواف.
As for the conditions of tawaf.
ذكر أهل العلم جملة من الشروط.
And the people of knowledge have mentioned a number of conditions.
لا يصح الطواف إلا بها.
And tawaf is not correct except with them.
سواء طواف الإفاضة أو القدوم أو غيرها.
Whether it is the tawaf of Hajj or the tawaf when one first comes to Mecca or other than it.
الشرط الأول هو النية وهو شرط عام في جميع العبادات.
The first of them is the intention and it is a general condition for all acts of worship.
والشرط الثاني هو الابتداء من الحجر الأسود.
And the second condition is that one begins his tawaf from the black stone.
فبداية الطواف لا تكون مهما دخلت إلى الكعبة إلا من الحجر الأسود كما هو معلوم.
So the beginning of your tawaf should not commence from wherever you enter the masjid. Rather, it must begin from the black stone.
الشرط الثالث أن يجعل البيت عن يساره.
The third condition is that he places the house should be to his left side.
ولا يجوز أن يطوف على الجهة المعاكسة. أن يجعل البيت عن يمينه فإن هذا طواف باطل.
And it's not permissible for one to do the opposite of that, meaning one goes in the opposite direction, thus making the house to be on his right side. This tawaf is a tawaf that is باطل.
الشرط الرابع أن يكمل الأشواط سبعة.
The fourth condition is that one must complete 7 units.
فلا يجوز أن يطوف أقل من سبع ولا أكثر من ذلك.
So it is not permissible that one does less than 7 nor more than that.
في جميع أنواع الطواف.
In all types of tawaf.
فمثلا لو قال شخص أنا أريد أن أتطوع وأطوف تطوعا ولكن أريد أن أطوف 5 أشواط. هل يحسب لي أو لا يحسب؟
So the person says, for example, I want to go and make tawaf, but I'm only going to do 5 units of tawaf. And as it relates to this issue, is this something which is permissible
or not?
Even if it's something that is supererogatory, it's not permissible. It is a must that he completes 7 units. From the conditions, and this is the fifth of them, is covering one's
awrah.
It is known from the people of the pre-Islamic days of ignorance that they used to make tawaf naked.
وهذا مما أبطله الإسلام وأوجب ستر العورة.
And this is from that which Islam came and did away with, and it obligated upon the people covering the awrah.
ومن الشروط المختلف فيها بين أهل العلم.
From the conditions which the people of knowledge differ about.
وهو الطهارة من الحدث عموما.
It is being in a state of purity from general types of impurity.
أما الطهارة من الجنابة.
As for tahara from a major impurity, janabah.
الحدث الأكبر.
The major impurity.
فإنه واجب باتفاق العلماء.
And this is something which is obligatory by the agreement of the people of knowledge.
فلا يجوز أن يطوف بالبيت وهو على جنابة.
So it is not permissible for a person to make tawaf around the house while being in a state of janabah.
وأما الوضوء وهو الحدث الأصغر.
As for the wudu, and this is how you purify yourself from minor impurities.
فهذه مسألة خلافية بين أهل العلم.
And this is something which the people of knowledge differ about.
منهم من رأى أن الطواف لا يصح إلا على طهارة.
From them there are those who say that tawaf is not correct unless one has purification.
وهذا قول جمهور أهل العلم.
This is the statement of the majority of the people of knowledge.
واستدلوا بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الطواف بالبيت صلاة إلا أنه يجوز الكلام فيه.
And they utilize as evidence the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that tawaf around the house is prayer, except that speech is permissible during it.
وقالوا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما أراد أن يطوف توضأ.
And the statement of the Prophet عليه السلام, whenever he commanded the one who wants to make tawaf that they make wudu.
لم يأمر هو فعل ولم يأمر.
So he did this. He actually, whenever he wanted to make tawaf, he would do it himself. He would make wudu.
والقول الثاني وهو قول الحنفية رجحه شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وابن عثيمين.
And the second statement, which is the statement of the Hanafiya and Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, both deem this to be the stronger viewpoint.
وهو أن الوضوء في الطواف مستحب وليس بواجب.
It is that wudu for tawaf is mustahab, but it is not obligatory.
وهذا قول قوي كذلك.
This is a strong statement as well.
واستدلوا بأن الدواعي لتوفر الأمر بالطهارة موجودة، ومع هذا لم يأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس بالوضوء.
And they utilize the evidence.
يعني الأسباب لأمر الناس بالوضوء موجودة لكنهما أمر.
نعم. And so the recommendation of for the people to make the wudu يعني is something which يعني it is not there.
وهذه من القواعد الفقهية المهمة. أن الأمر إذا توفر دواعي وأسبابه ولم يأتي الأمر به فليس بواجب.
And so this is from the qawaid of fiqhiyya that if the things that would make something to be binding are not present, then therefore it is not binding or present.
وأما فعله صلى الله عليه وسلم فالفعل لا يدل على الوجوب.
And as for his action صلى الله عليه وسلم, then his action does not denote obligation.
وأما الحديث الذي استدل به الجمهور وهو أن الطواف بالبيت صلاة.
As for the hadith which the majority of the scholars use as evidence, it is that tawaf around the house is prayer.
فمعنى ذلك أن له حكم الصلاة من الخشوع والذكر.
The meaning of that is that it holds the ruling of salah, meaning that one must have khushu and a remembrance of Allah Ta'ala within it.
وليس معناه أنه له جميع شروط الصلاة فإن هذا معلوم.
And it is not, the meaning is not that it has all of the rules of salah and this is something which is known.
ولكن الأفضل والأولى هو البعد عن الخلاف خصوصا مع وجود الصلاة بعد الطواف.
And that which is better and takes more precedence is that one distance himself from the difference of opinion, especially seeing as though prayer comes right after the tawaf.
فدائما يحرص الإنسان المعتمر والحاج والمتطوع على أن يطوف على طهارة.
And so this means that the person who is making tawaf, the one who is making tawaf and he's doing this act of worship, that he strives to be in a state of purification.
لكن متى يظهر هنا أثر هذا الخلاف عندما يكون مثلا في الحج والناس في زحام شديد وأحدث مثلا في الشوط السابع.
So you have a case wherein the people, they have this large crowd. What are we to do in a case wherein we have this khilaf and there's a large crowd of people and one may be in the seventh unit of his tawaf and he breaks his wudu?
فهنا ينبني القول على إكمالك للطواف أو عدم إكماله الذهاب إلى الطهارة أو عدم الذهاب إلى الطهارة بحسب ما يترجح لديك من الأقوال.
And so as it relates to this case, then a person can either complete his tawaf like this, or he can go renew his wudu and come back and complete his tawaf based upon what this person deems to be the stronger viewpoint from the viewpoints of the scholars.
هنا بدأ الطائف كما قلنا بالبداية من الحجر الأسود.
And so here, as we mentioned earlier, the one making tawaf is to begin his tawaf from the black stone.
وذكر الشيخ هنا أنه من السنة أن يستلم الحجر.
And the Sheikh, he mentions here that from the sunnah is touching the black stone.
واستلام الحجر الأسود والركن اليماني من الأعمال ذات الفضل العظيم.
And touching the black stone as well as the Yemeni corner are from those completers, if you will, and it has great virtue.
كما جاء في قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام ليبعثن الله الحجر يوم القيامة.
As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah تعالى he will likewise resurrect the black stone on the day of judgment.
وله عينان يبصر بهما.
And it's going to have two eyes with which it can see.
ولسان ينطق به.
And a tongue with which to speak.
ويشهد على من استلمه بحق.
And it's going to testify for all of those who touched it in truth.
ورد عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أيضا.
Likewise, it has come from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
قال مسح الحجر والركن اليماني.
That he said, touching the black stone and the Yemeni corner.
يحطان الخطايا حطا.
That it will remove the people's sins in truth.
وهذا يشمل استلام الحجر الأسود بجميع أنواع الاستلام.
And this encompasses or includes touching the black stone with whatever type of touching is done.
وسيأتي عن صفة استلام الركن اليماني.
And we're going to just mention in that which is to come how the description of touching the Yemeni corner.
ويجب أن يعلم أن استلام هذا الحجر هو اقتداء بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And we must mention that touching the black stone, it is done in following the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فالبركة هنا في اتباعه عليه الصلاة والسلام.
So the blessing here lies in following him صلى الله عليه وسلم.
المسألة تعبدية.
And an act of worship.
لذلك قال عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه.
Due to this, Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه said.
والله إني لأعلم أنك حجر لا تضر ولا تنفع.
By Allah, I know that you're nothing but a rock. You neither benefit nor do you harm.
ولولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يستلمك ما استلمت.
And if had I not seen the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم touching you, I would not have touched you.
وهذا الفرق بين أهل السنة في عباداتهم وأهل التوحيد وبين أهل الشرك والبدع.
And this is the difference between أهل السنة والجماعة, the people of Tawheed in their worship and the people of Bid'ah.
أهل السنة يطبقون السنن وأفعال رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام على ضوء ما جاءت.
أهل السنة they implement the actions and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم as they have come.
لذلك تجد أهل البدع إذا جاءوا إلى الحجر استلموه مسحوا أبدانهم أو مسحوا أبدان أطفالهم يطلبون بذلك التبرك, هذا أمر لا يجوز.
Due to this, you find the people of Bid'ah, when they come to the black stone, they touch it, then they rub on themselves, they touch their clothing, or they touch the clothing of their children, seeking blessings by way of that. This is something which is not permissible.
أما صفة استلامي هذا الحجر,
as for the description of touching this black stone,
فعلى صفات ثلاث.
It is upon three descriptions.
الصفة الأولى,
the first of them,
أن يستقبله ويستلمه بيده ويقبله.
That one turns towards it, faces it, touches it, and kisses it.
والتقبيل هنا كما يقول الفقهاء بدون صوت.
And kissing it, as the fuqaha have stated, is not with a sound.
وهذه الحالة الأولى إن تيسرت بدون إيذاء للناس فهي أفضل.
This first description. If it is done with that which without harming the people, then this is best.
كما سيأتي في تنبيه الشيخ رحمه الله.
As shall come, and that which the Shaykh mentions to draw attention to this fact.
الصفة الأولى, الصفة الثانية, أن يستلمه بيده أو بعصا معه, ثم يقبل اليد أو يقبل العصا.
The second description is that one touches the black stone with his hand, or he may have a stick that he's using to walk with, or what have you. He touches that, and he kisses his hand, or he kisses the stick.
الصفة الثالثة, إن لم يتيسر القرب من الحجر. فإنه يشير إليه ويقول بسم الله الله أكبر.
And the third description is that one, if it's not easy for the person to actually touch it, then he points in the direction of it with his hand, and then he says بسم الله والله أكبر. Then kiss. Oh, no, he doesn't kiss his hand.
ومما يفعله بعض جهلة النساء.
And from that which some of the ignorant ones do amongst the women.
أنها تختلط بالرجال وبالزحام وتتكشف حتى تصل إلى الحجر الأسود.
Is that some of the women they mix and mingle with the men and they crowd with the men and they mix and mingle with them in order that they can touch the black stone.
فهذا من فعل المحرمات لأجل الوصول إلى أمر مستحب.
This is from the actions that are impermissible in order to do something which Annie has. She wants to do.
وترك المحرمات مقدم على فعل المستحبات.
And leaving that which is haram takes precedence over doing that which is recommended.
والمرأة عموما ينبغي لها أن تحتاط في طوافها.
In general, the woman, she must take precautions as it relates to her tawaf.
فتتخير الأماكن التي ليس فيها زحام الرجال الشديد.
And she must strive to utilize places that there are not large crowds of men when she makes her tawaf.
فهذه صفات استلام الحجر ثم يمضي بعد ذلك.
So these descriptions are the descriptions of the tawaf, and then after that he's of commencing the tawaf, and after that one is done.
ومما ينبغي التنبيه عليه.
From that which is befitting that one pays attention to.
أننا نرى بعض الناس حال انتهائهم من الصلاة وهو غير طائف.
Is that we see some of the people that when the prayer comes in and they complete their prayer, they're not making tawaf.
فإنه يذهب ويقبل الحجر الأسود.
Then they rush to go and kiss the black stone.
وتقبيل الحجر الأسود واستلامه لا يشرع إلا للطائفين.
And the kissing of the black stone and touching it is not legislated except for the people who are making tawaf.
بأنواع الطواف, طواف الحج أو العمرة أو القدوم أو الإفاضة, بأنواع الطواف.
When the various types of tawaf, حج, عمرة, making tawaf when he first comes and the likes of that, the various types of tawaf is legislated at that time.
لكن لا بد أن يكون في طواف, أما في غير طواف فلا يشرع.
But it is a must that one actually be in tawaf in order to do this act. As for if one is not in not doing tawaf, then it's not legislated.
أيضا مما ينبغي تنبيه عليه للمرأة ولا نعرف قلناها أو لا, وهو أنه حال تقبيلها للحجر إن وصلته لا تكشف عن وجهها.
And likewise, what we must draw the attention of the women to, if even if she does have the opportunity to kiss the black stone, that she does not uncover her head to do so.
حتى لا يراها الرجال, فإن هذا أيضا أمر محرم.
So that the men do not see that which should not be seen of her, for this is also amongst the affairs that are not permissible.
قال رحمه الله والأفضل ألا يزاحم فيؤذي الناس ويتأذى به.
So the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, he continues by saying, and what is better is that one not overcrowd the people and thus harm the people or is caused harm by them.
وهذا ورد في قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لعمر.
This is has come in a statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to Umar.
يا عمر إنك رجل قوي.
O Umar, you indeed are a strong man.
فلا تؤذي الضعيف.
So don't harm the weak.
وإذا أردت استلام الحجر.
So if you want to touch the black stone.
فإن خلا لك فاستلمه. يعني أنت يسر لك الأمر بدون زحام فاستلمه.
Then if the pathway is clear for you, then touch it. Meaning you can do it without crowding the people, then touch it.
وإلا فاستقبله وكبر.
Otherwise, then turn towards it and make the takbir.
قال بعد ذلك رحمه الله ويقول عند استلام الحجر بسم الله والله أكبر اللهم إيمانا بك وتصديقا بكتابك ووفاء بعهدك واتباعا لسنة نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Thereafter, the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, he mentions, and then one says, while touching the black stone, in the name of Allah, Allahu Akbar, O Allah, out of Iman in you, and affirmation of your book, and fulfilling your covenant, and following the sunnah of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
التكبير عند الاستلام استلام الحجر ورد له في السنة الفاظ.
As it relates to the takbir when touching the black stone, there has come within the sunnah a number of wordings for it.
إما أن يقول الله أكبر.
Either one says الله أكبر.
أو بسم الله الله أكبر.
Or one says بسم الله الله أكبر.
أما التكبير فورد في صحيح البخاري وفي مسلم في جملة من الأحاديث عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
As for the takbir, it has come in Sahih Muslim from while we have a number of routes of transmission and a number of hadith from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام.
وأما البسملة فوردت موقوفة من قول ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما.
As for the basmala, then this is something which comes in a mawquf form from the statement of Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما.
وهذا رواه عبد الرزاق في المصنف والبيهقي.
It is reported by عبد الرزاق in his مصنف as well as البيهقي.
وقال ابن حجر رحمه الله سنده صحيح.
And Ibn Hajar رحمه الله says its chain of narration is صحيح.
وهذا يفعله في كل مرة يمر على الحجر الأسود.
And this is done every time one passes the black stone.
والمشروع أن يقول ذلك مرة واحدة.
He says and what is legislated is that one does that one time.
وأما ما تراه من قول الناس الله أكبر الله أكبر تكرارها فإن هذا ليس بمشروع.
As for what you find from some of the people saying الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر like this, this is something which is not legislated.
وإنما يشير إليه ويكبر تكبيرة واحدة أو بسم الله والله أكبر ثم يمضي.
But what is legislated rather is that one says الله أكبر one time or he says بسم الله والله أكبر one time and then he continues his tawaf.
وقع خلاف بين أهل العلم في آخر مرة يمر على الحجر. بعد انتهاء الشوط السابع.
So the people of knowledge they differ regarding the last time that one comes to the black stone, meaning when he completes his last unit and he comes back to the black stone, is he to say it again?
إذا يكون التكبير رقم كم؟
So therefore the takbir that you're going to say is what? How many?
الثامن.
Will be eight in this case.
هل يكبر الثامنة عند الانتهاء أو لا يكبر الثامنة عند الانتهاء؟
So meaning that by the time you finish the making your tawaf, will you say the eighth takbir or do you not say it?
ذهب الشيخ بن باز رحمه الله وأفتى بذلك اللجنة الدائمة إلى أنه يكبر في آخر الطواف أيضا.
So Sheikh bin Baz and he issued a fatwa in this regard, he, in his chosen viewpoint, as well as the legend of Daima, that he will say the takbir that last time that he comes around.
ويرى الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله أنه لا تكبير في هذا الموضع لانتهاء الطواف.
Sheikh Uthaymeen عليه رحمة الله, he holds the viewpoint that one does not say takbir in this place.
والأمر في ذلك واسع.
The affair is broad as it relates to this.
وأما الدعاء الوارد في قوله هنا اللهم إيمانا بك إلى آخره.
As for the dua that comes here in his statement, oh Allah, I do this out of iman in you and tasdeeq of your book to the end of it.
فهذا وإن استحبه كثير من الفقهاء.
Then even though many of the fuqaha recommend this dua.
ولكنه لم يرد في حديث صحيح.
However, it has not come in an authentic narration.
وإنما ورد في حديث ابن عباس.
But rather it has only come in a hadith of Ibn Abbas
عند الطبراني وعند البيهقي
that is reported with الطبراني and البيهقي
وهو بإسناد ضعيف.
It has a weak chain of narration.
وقال الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله
الشيخ الألباني عليه رحمة الله said
موقوف ضعيف.
It is موقوف, meaning it is موقوف to a statement of a companion and it is weak.
يعني من قول الصحابي ولكنه ضعيف.
Meaning it's a statement of the companion but it is weak.
بل نص بعض أهل العلم كابن الحاج في المدخل والألباني على أنه من البدع.
And it's come from a number of the people of knowledge such as Ibn al-Hajj and al-Albani that it is بدع.
نعم. ثم قال رحمه الله ثم يأخذ ذات اليمين ويجعل البيت عن يساره.
And then the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, he said that he's going to walk to the direction of the right, making the house to be on his left.
وهذا كما قلنا من شروط الطواف.
And this, as we mentioned, is from the conditions of tawaf.
كما جاء في حديث جابر, كما قلنا حديث جابر منسك خاص في الحج.
As we have mentioned regarding the hadith of Jabir, that this is something which, يعني, it is specific to this instance.
قال جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه.
Jabir, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him.
أتى الحجر فاستلمه ثم مشى على يمينه.
He says that the hajar, he goes to it, touches it, and then he walks in the direction of the right.
فرمل ثلاثا ومشى أربعة.
And so for the first three, he's going to walk briskly, and then for the rest, he will walk normally.
وهنا ينبه بعض أهل العلم كالشيخ ابن عثيمين وبعض الفقهاء أيضا.
Here, Shaykh Uthaymeen and other amongst the fuqaha draw attention to a point.
على أن الطائف ينبغي عليه أن يحرص ألا يطوف ويعطي الكعبة ظهره أو وجهه. ألا يطوف ويعطي الكعبة ظهره أو يعطي الكعبة وجهه يستقبل.
Is that one does not when he makes tawaf, he's not making tawaf while placing the Kaaba to his back nor directly to his front.
متى تحصل هذه الصورة؟ تحصل كثير وأنتم ترونها.
He says, when would this particular type of tawaf occur? It would occur a lot.
حين ترى بعض الحجاج يطوف مع نسائه فيجمع النساء في المنتصف ثم يمسكون أيديهم فيعقدون دائرة فيكون الذي في اليسار ظهره على الكعبة الذي في الأمام وجهه على الكعبة فيطوفون هكذا وهذا طوافهم غير صحيح ويلزمهم الإعادة.
He says, so when would something like this occur? It occurs a lot. You see, for example, a person, he may be with his wife or something like this, and he's trying to shield her. And so therefore, he has his arms around her, and he has his back, therefore, to the Kaaba, trying to protect his lady. And so his back is to the Kaaba, and she's making the tawaf like this. He says that this particular type of tawaf is a tawaf that is invalid.
وأما الالتفات اليسير أو النظر إلى الخلف أو الوقوف حيث أنه لا يكون مستمرا وإنما يسيرا فهذا لا حرج فيه.
As for an occasional turning in a different direction or turning away, something which is not you know a large amount and only occurs occasionally, then this is something which is okay and it doesn't continue. It's something which okay doesn't harm one's tawaf.
قال فإذا بلغ الركن اليماني استلمه من غير تقبيل.
He then says, so when one reaches the Yemeni corner, he touches it without kissing it.
وهذا ما ورد من فعل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فإن الركن اليماني وهو الزاوية التي قبل الحجر الأسود.
He says, and this is what has come from the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Yemeni corner. It is that corner of the corner of the Kaaba that comes right before the black stone.
فإن المشروع في ذلك أن يستلمه بيده ويكبر.
So what is legislated here is that one touches it with his hand and says takbir.
ورد في فضله في الحديث السابق أنه يحط الخطايا حطا.
There has come in the aforementioned hadith concerning its virtue that it is something which will remove one's sins.
وهذا في الغالب استلامه مع فضله أسهل من استلام الحجر الأسود.
You'll find that touching this corner along with his great and tremendous virtue is going to be much easier than actually touching the black stone.
ولا تشرع فيه إلا هذه الصفة.
And nothing has been legislated regarding except this description that we mentioned.
فإذا لم يمسه بيده لا يكبر.
So if one does not touch it with his hand, then he doesn't say the takbir.
وإذا مسه بيده لا يقبله.
And if he does touch it with his hand, he does not kiss it.
فهي صفة واحدة كما جاءت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So this is one description that has come forward as it has come from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وأما بقية الأركان وهو الركن الشامي والركن العراقي التي في الخلف. فليس فيها شيء ثابت.
As for the other arkan, such as the Iraqi corner or the Shami corner, then nothing has been legislated as it relates to these corners.
لأنها أصلاً ليست أركان. لأن الحجر من الكعبة.
Because يعني as it relates to the أصل is that these affairs are not in reality pillars, such as touching the black stone as a pillar.
كما سيأتي بيانه إن شاء الله.
As clarification of that is going to come إن شاء الله.
قال فإذا لم يتيسر فلا يزاحم عليه.
So he then thereafter the author he mentions so therefore if this is not easy then one is not to crowd with the people to do so.
ويقول بينه وبين الحجر الأسود ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إني أسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة.
And then one says, between that Yemeni corner and the black stone, O Allah, or O our Lord, give us good in the dunya and good in the hereafter, and protect us from the punishment of the fire. O Allah, indeed I ask you for your pardon and safety and security in the dunya as well as the hereafter.
الوارد في حديث عبد الله بن السائب.
So what has come in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Sa'ib.
الذي رواه أبو داود وصححه الألباني.
Which is reported by Abu Dawood and Al-Albani graded it صحيح.
هو فقط أن يقول بين الركنين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ويقف.
Is that one says only our Lord give us good in the dunya and good in the hereafter and protect us from the punishment of the fire stops there.
وأما قول بعض الحجاج بعد هذا الدعاء أو الذكر يقول وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار فإن هذا لا أصل له.
As for what you find some of the pilgrims saying after this dua, enter us into paradise along with the Abrar, O Al-Aziz Al-Ghafar, they said this is something which there is no asl for it.
والطائف له أن يذكر الله عز وجل ويقرأ القرآن بما شاء.
He says, while the one who is making tawaf, he can remember Allah Ta'ala with whatever he wills of statement of remembrance, the recitation of the Quran.
فلم يرد فيه شيء خاص إلا هذا الذكر وهذا الموضع.
So for nothing specific has come regarding this except this dhikr in this place.
وأما ما ترونه من بعض الكتيبات وهو لكل شوط دعاء خاص.
As for what you find in some of the small books regarding Hajj and Umrah, that each unit of tawaf has a specific dua to be made in it.
أو ما يفعله بعض المطوفين مع الحجاج فيدعون بأدعية خاصة لكل شوط فإن هذا من البدع.
You find some of the people who are doing tawaf, they are saying a different dua in each particular unit. This is something that is an innovation.
ومما يعني يجب التنبيه عليه أنه لا يشرع رفع الصوت بالدعاء لأجل التشويش على الناس.
And from that, likewise, which we must draw attention to is that it is not legislated or permissible to raise one's voice with one's dua and thus cause disturbance to the other people.
كما يفعله بعض الناس ويدعون دعاء جماعيا ويؤذون المسلمين في دعائهم ويشوشون عليهم فإن هذا أمر محرم.
As you find some of the Muslims doing, some of the people doing when they make tawaf, then they are saying these group congregational supplications, thus disturbing the other worshippers. This is something which is not legislated.
فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما هو معلوم نهى أن يجهر بعضكم على بعض في القرآن في المسجد. فكيف بالأذكار والأدعية؟
As you know that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has prohibited us from disturbing one another with reciting the Quran in the masjid. So how much more so statements of remembrance that are not the Quran?
ومما يشرع نعم قال وكلما مر بالحجر الأسود كبر.
The author goes on to mention, and every time he passes the black stone, he says the takbir.
ويقول في بقية طوافه ما أحب من ذكر ودعاء وقراءة قرآن.
And he says whatever his tawaf, whatever he likes from dhikr and supplication and the recitation of the Quran.
فإنما جعل الطواف بالبيت وبالصفا والمروة ورمي الجمار لإقامة ذكر الله.
And this is because the tawaf around the house, as well as going between Safa and Marwa, and the stoning of the jamarat, are not made except to establish the remembrance of Allah.
إذن هذا موضع عبادة وموضع ذكر، فلا ينبغي على الإنسان أن يشتغل بالحديث مع صاحبه أو يشتغل بهاتفه وبتصويره وغير ذلك، وإنما هو موضع ذكر وعبادة.
For this place is a place of worship. This instance is an instance of worship. So therefore, one should not busy himself with speech, talking to the people, or busying himself with his phone, taking pictures and things like this. But rather, this time is a time that he should be engaging in worship and the remembrance of Allah.
لذلك جاء عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه أوصى بقلة الكلام فيه.
Due to this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has come that he has advised with a small amount of speech.
الحديث الجانبي وليس الذكر.
نعم يعني and it is
حديث مع حديث الدنيا ومع
الآخرة. Speaking about hadith of the dunya, يعني and not engaging in ذكر.
كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام الحديث الذي ذكرناه في الطهارة قال الطواف بالبيت صلاة.
As has come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith that we mentioned earlier regarding purification, that the tawaf around the house is salah.
ولكن الله أحل فيه النطق.
But Allah Ta'ala has allowed within it speech.
فمن نطق فلا ينطق إلا بخير.
So whoever does speak, let him not speak except with goodness.
وفي رواية قال فأقلوا فيه الكلام.
And in another narration, so let him engage in a small amount of speech.
وأما حديث إنما جعل الطواف بالبيت بالصفا والمروة ورمي الجمار لإقامة ذكر الله كما ذكره الشيخ.
As for the hadith that the tawaf around the house and Safa and Marwa and stoning the jamarat are not made except to establish the worship of Allah Ta'ala as the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala as the author has mentioned here.
فلا شك أنها ما أقيمت إلا لذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Then without doubt, these things are not set in place except to remember Allah Ta'ala.
ولكن هذا الحديث رواه أبو داود والترمذي وأحمد من حديث عائشة وهو حديث ضعيف.
But this hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and Ahmad and the Tirmidhi from the hadith of Aisha, and it is a hadith that is weak.
نعم. قال وفي هذا الطواف أول ما يقدم ينبغي. ينبغي للرجل أن يفعل شيئين.
So the author he thereafter mentions, and within this tawaf, the first of that which the person should do for the man specifically is one of two things.
وقوله هنا ينبغي أن يستحب لأن هذه الأفعال من السنن وليست من الواجبات.
He says concerning his statement that it is proper and befitting, this means that it is recommended, it is not something that are from the wajibat.
أما الأول فهو الاطباع من ابتداء الطواف إلى نهايته.
The first of these two things is that one, he takes the top portion of his garment and he puts it under his right armpit.
وصفة الاطباع أن يجعل وسط ردائه داخل إبطه الأيمن.
The description of his اطباع is that one places the middle of his رداء of his upper garment under his right armpit.
وطرفيه على كتفه الأيسر.
And the two corners of it are to go upon his left shoulder.
فإذا فرغ من الطواف أعاد رداءه إلى حالته قبل الطواف.
And once he completes his tawaf, then he returns his rida to the state that it was in before he began the tawaf.
لأن الطباع محله الطواف فقط.
Because the place for the اطباع, this is what it's called, is the place of it is during tawaf only.
هذا من مستحبات الطواف وهو الاطباع صفته كما شرحه الشيخ أن يضع إحرامه تحت إبطه الأيمن وفوق كتفه الأيسر.
This is the description of the اتباع as the author himself has explained what it is, and it is that the person places the رداء under his right armpit, at the middle of it, under his right armpit, and its two corners upon his left shoulder.
وهذا ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في طواف القدوم أو العمرة فقط.
This is something that has come regarding the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he would do during the tawaf when he first comes to Mecca or during tawaf al-umrah only.
وهذا مذهب الحنابلة أنه لا يشرع إلا في طواف القدوم أو العمرة.
And this is from the madhhab of the Hanabila that it is not legislated except during the tawaf of first coming to Mecca or the tawaf of Umrah.
مما ورد في ذلك ما جاء في حديث يعلى بن أمية رضي الله عنه.
From that which is come in this regard is the hadith of يعلى بن أمية رضي الله عنه.
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طاف مطبعا.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he made tawaf and he did this act of اتباع.
وهذا رواه أبو داود والترمذي وهو صحيح.
Reported by Abu Dawood and al-Tirmidhi and it is صحيح.
وجاء عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه في الحديث.
There has come from Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما in a hadith.
أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه اعتمروا.
That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions made Umrah.
من الجعرانة.
From جعرانة.
وهي مكان في مكة.
And it's the place in Mecca.
ويقال جعرانة وجعرانة.
It's called جعرانة or جعرانة.
قال فرملوا بالبيت.
And he said that they trotted around the house.
وجعلوا أرديتهم تحت آباطهم.
And they made their upper garments to be under their right armpits.
قد قذفوها على عواتقهم اليسرى.
And then they tossed it over their left shoulders.
وهذا رواه أبو داود وأحمد وهو صحيح.
Reported from Abu Dawood and Ahmed, it is صحيح.
وهذا لا يشرع إلا في الطواف فقط.
It is not legislated except in tawaf only.
وأما ما تراه من فعل الحجاج لهذه الصفة في السعي هذا غير مشروع.
As what you find from some of the people performing pilgrimage, they do this during sa'i. This is something which is not legislated.
وكذلك ينتبه المعتمر أنه لا يصلي بعد الطواف ركعتين وهو مطبع لأن في هذا نهي.
And likewise, we want to draw attention to some of the people performing umrah that you don't pray those two raka'at that are to take place after tawaf while having your garment like this.
قال وأما التنبيه الثاني الرمل في الأشواط الثلاثة الأولى فقط.
And as for the second point that he wants to draw attention to, it is الرمل, that brisk walking or trotting, if you will, within the first three units of tawaf.
والرمل إسراع المشي مع مقاربة الخطوات.
And الرمل, it is walking briskly with short steps.
وأما الأشواط الأربعة الباقية فليس فيها رمل وإنما يمشي كعادته.
As for the last four units of the tawaf, then it is not one is not to do ramal within them. Rather, one walks as he normally walks.
وهذا الفعل سنة للمحرم باتفاق المذاهب الأربعة.
This is a sunnah for the one in a state of ihram for the by way of agreement of the fuqaha.
وهذا كما هو الحال في الاطباع لا يشرع إلا في الطواف الأول.
And this, just as we draw attention to regarding the itiba', that it is done in a particular time and it is done at the beginning of the tawaf.
فلا يشرع الاطباع ولا الرمل المشي السريع في طواف الإفاضة مثلا أو في طواف الوداع للحج.
And so it's not legislated to do either of these things, itiba' nor the ramal within the tawaf of hajj or the tawaf that one is making, bidding farewell.
وهذا أيضا وردت فيه أدلة كثيرة كما مر معنا ذكرها.
And many evidences have come in this regard as we mentioned some of them previously.
جاء في حديث جابر قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يرمل من الحجر الأسود حتى ينتهي إليه ثلاثة أطواف.
As it comes in the hadith of Jabir رضي الله عنه that he mentioned the mention of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made his ramal, he lightly trotted around from starting from the black stone until he reached it again three times.
وفي رواية فرمل ثلاثة ومشى أربعة.
As has come in another narration that he made his ramal three times and he walked four times.
وهذا الرمل وأيها الكرام لا يشرع إلا للرجال.
And this light trotting of your ikhwa al-kiram, it is not legislated except for the men.
وهذا عليه إجماع العلماء.
And there is إجماع between the scholars regarding this issue.
نقل الإجماع ابن المنذر والطحاوي وابن عبد البر وغيرهم.
Ibn Mundhir, al-Tahawi, and Ibn Abd al-Barr, and other than them have mentioned this إجماع.
ورد عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه قال.
There's come from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما that he said.
ليس على النساء رمل.
That this رمل is not upon the women.
ولا سعي في الوادي بين الصفا والمروة.
Nor is making سعي without in the valley, but between الصفا والمروة.
يعني الإسراع في الخطى للرجال في العمرة له مكانين.
يعني as meaning that this type of running for the man with these short steps, it is legislated with an umrah for the men within two places.
وهذا المشي الرمل في الطواف وهو تقارب الخطى مع الإسراع.
Meaning this manner of walking with these short steps, walking briskly and with a bit of haste, he said that with these short steps, it is legislated for the men in these places.
وأسرع منه وأشد وهو السعي. وهذا الذي يكون بين العلمين بين الصفا والمروة.
And the fastest of these two, the fastest that one should be within these two, is that one which one does when he runs between Safa and Marwa, and it is between these two signposts between Safa and Marwa.
يعني أن السعي أشد من الرمل.
Meaning that running which one does during سعي is more intense than what one does during Tawaf.
وهذا الأثر رواه الشافعي وسعيد بن منصور أثر بن عمر وهو أثر صحيح.
This narration that comes from Shafi'i and Ibn Mandur from Ibn Umar that it is a narration that is صحيح.
ومن من المسائل في قضية الطواف.
From the issues that should be brought up in the issue of a tawaf.
إذا قطع طوافه للصلاة.
If one stops his tawaf in order to pray.
فإن المشروع في حقه أن يبدأ من حيث انتهى.
Then what is legislated as it relates to this person is that he picks it back up from wherever he stopped.
ولا يلزمه أن يعود إلى الحجر أول الشوط.
It is not upon him to return back to the black stone to start that particular unit over again.
لأن هذا يقول به بعض الفقهاء وهو غير صحيح وليس بلازم.
Because some of these fuqaha say this, but in reality it is not sahih and it's not binding upon him.
وهذا ما رجحه الشيخ بن باز وغيره من أهل العلم قالوا يبدأ من حيث توقف.
This is the chosen viewpoint of Sheikh bin Baz and other than him from the people of knowledge. They say that he begins from wherever he stopped his tawaf.
وأما من قطع طوافه لحدث.
As for the one who stops his tawaf due to him nullifying his purification.
فهنا هذه المسألة مترتبة على مسألة اشتراطي الطهارة في الطواف.
And this is something which is connected to the what we mentioned earlier concerning the chosen viewpoints of those who make it a condition to have purification to make tawaf.
من اشترط الطهارة قال بطل طواف.
So those who deem tahara to be a condition for tawaf, then they say that that unit is invalidated.
وهذا قول جمهور أهل العلم كما قلنا.
This is the statement of the majority of the people of knowledge, as we have mentioned.
قالوا يبطل طوافه بالحدث حاله حال الصلاة.
They say that his tawaf is nullified by the way of the hadith, يعني, just as it is nullified in salah.
ويجب الاستئناف من جديد.
And it is obligatory upon him to begin anew.
وهذا ما أفتى به أيضا لجنة دائمة والشيخ سماحة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله.
This is that which the لجنة دائمة and the noble Sheikh عبد العزيز بن باز have issued a fatwa regarding.
ومن قال إنه ليس بشرط وهذا قلنا أنه القول القوي في المسألة والمسألة كما قلنا خلافية معروفة
As for those who say that it is not a condition for the tawaf, and as he mentioned, this is a strong statement amongst the statements of the people of knowledge.
قالوا أصلا لا يلزمه أن يتوضأ.
They say then that there is nothing at all to necessitate upon him that he goes to make wudu.
فيجوز أن يكمل وضوءه ولو على غير طهارة. طوافه ولو على غير طهارة.
So they say it is permissible for him to complete his tawaf while not having wudu.
ولكنه إذا يعني ذهب إلى الاحتياط فذهب إلى الوضوء يعني قطع طوافه وذهب إلى الوضوء هل يستأنف من جديد أو يبدأ من حيث انتهى؟
But if one wants to take the precaution and when he nullifies his wudu, that he simply goes to make wudu and he comes back, then does he start his tawaf over from the beginning or does he continue where he left off?
إن طال الفصل حيث أنه ذهب إلى الحمامات الخارجية وانتظر مدة ثم رجع فيلزمه الاستئناف.
So if the a long
لأن الموالاة شرط.
If a long period goes by, then he goes to to renew his wudu and then comes back, and a long time frame has elapsed. In this case, he's going to start over from the beginning.
وأما إذا كان الفصل يسيرا فيكمل من حيث انتهى.
As for if it is only a small amount of time that goes by, then he comes back and he continues where he left off.
فهذا أيضا يقوله الشيخ بن عثيمين وهو ممن يرى عدم اشتراط الطهارة.
This is the chosen viewpoint of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, and he is from those who don't hold tahara to be a condition for tawaf.
نعم. من المسائل أيضا أنه يشترط وضوء الأذان. نعم. تفضل. كما ذكرنا أيها الإخوة أنه في طوافه لا بد أن يطوف بعد حجري بعد الحجر.
And as we mentioned earlier, that it is a must that one he makes his tawaf after the hijr, after starting from the black stone.
لأن الحجر من الكعبة.
Because the hijr is from the Kaaba.
وتسميته حجر إسماعيل لا أصل له.
And as for referring to it as the Hijr of Ismail is something which is not correct.
لأن إبراهيم وإسماعيل بنياه على الأساس الأول وضموا إليه هذا الحجر.
Because Ibrahim and Ismail, they built it upon its original foundation and they left that Hijr there.
بنوه مع الحجر كامل.
So they built it upon its original foundation and they had it upon its where the hijr was initially at, the entirety of the hijr.
ثم بعد ذلك حصل تصدع للبيت واحتراق له.
After that, some affairs occurred to the house itself, and it was burned.
وكذلك جاءه سيل جارف فانهدمت الكعبة.
And after that, an assault took place upon it, and the Kaaba was destroyed.
وهذا قبل بعثة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And this is before the coming of the Prophet عليه الصلاة.
وبنته قريش كما في القصة المعلومة.
And the Quraysh, they rebuilt it as has come in the well known story.
واتفقوا أنهم لا يدخلون في بنائه إلا النفقة الطيبة.
And they came up together upon the fact that no one would come together upon his building and reconstruction except by way of pure and good wealth.
فجمعوا هذه النفقة الطيبة فبنوه على هذه الصفة الموجودة الآن ولم تكفي النفقة لضم حجر إسماعيل لحجر.
And so they gathered his pure and good wealth, and they rebuilt it upon its current description, and they didn't have enough for this hijr that was left in there.
وهذا جاء في حديث عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها عند البخاري ومسلم.
And this has come in a hadith of that was reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim from Aisha رضي الله عنها.
قال سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الجدر يعني الحجر أمن البيت هو.
And so she said that I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding this hajr, meaning is it from the house itself?
قال نعم.
He said yes, it's part of it.
قلت فما بالهم لم يدخلوه في البيت.
So I asked them, why didn't they enter into the house?
فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إن قومك قصرت بهم النفقة نقصت يعني.
He said that indeed your people didn't have enough money to put it in there.
لأنهم كما قلنا ما جمعوا إلا النفقة الطيبة وما استطاعوا أن يبنوا بهذه النفقة الطيبة البيت كاملا.
Meaning, as he previously mentioned, that when they gathered together the pure and good wealth of the people and they began spending in order to rebuild it, the money fell short of enough to be able to include this portion inside the actual Kaaba.
ويذكر الخرافيون أن فيه قبر إبراهيم وقبر إسماعيل وهذا كذب وباطل ولا يصح.
As for the Khurafiyun, some of them, they say that that place is the grave of Ibrahim and Ismail. This is a statement which is a lie. It is a fabrication, batil.
مما ذكره الفقهاء في قضية الطواف.
From that which the jurists mentioned in the issue of tawaf.
أن الفقهاء والأئمة الأربعة جميعا استحبوا في الطواف أن يدنوا من البيت بقدر المستطاع.
Is that the فقهاء of the four madhahab, they say that one, it is recommended for one to come as close to the house as possible.
لأنه أشرف البقاع وأيسر في استلام الركنين.
Because this is the best of places, and it is the closer you are to it, the easier it is for you to try to touch the black stone and the Yemeni corner.
ولكن إن كان هناك حرج وزحام فالطواف حول الكعبة في الصحن أو في الأدوار العلوية كل ذلك جائز.
But if this won't cause harm by way of crowding and the likes of this, then one therefore he makes a tawaf in the courtyard or one of the upper higher levels, then this is something which there's no harm in.
ومما ورد في الكعبة من الفضائل ما يذكره بعض أهل العلم وما يذكره العلماء من قضية الملتزم.
From that which they have come regarding the virtues of Al-Kaaba himself, as has been mentioned by some of the people of knowledge, is the issue of the multazam.
وهذا ما بين الركن والباب.
And this is what is between the pillar and the door itself.
أو يقولون ما بين الركن والمقام. ركن الحجر الأسود والمقام.
Or they say it is between the ركن, meaning the pillar of the black stone, and the مقام, meaning the مقام.
وسيأتي أن المقام مكانه الأصلي هو تحت الباب على يمين الباب في الأسفل.
And it's going to come regarding the issue that the original place of the maqam, it was right under the door, meaning right under and to the right of the door.
سيأتي الكلام عن هذا إن شاء الله وأقوال أهل العلم فيه.
There's going to come some speech regarding this and the statements of the people of knowledge regarding.
ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هذا المكان التزمه فيضع صدره ووجهه وذراعيه ويدعو الله سبحانه وتعالى.
It has come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was close to the Kaaba and he placed his chest against it and his arms around it alaihi as-salam, and he made dua to Allah.
وهذا فعله ابن عباس وجمع من الصحابة وثبت عن عروة بن الزبير وغيره.
This has come from Ibn Abbas and a number of the Sahaba, Urwa ibn Zubayr and others.
وهذا الالتزام فقط في هذا الموضع, وأما ما نراه من التزام في غير هذا الموضع فليس بسنة.
And this iltizam, it is done in this place only. As for what you find some other people doing by doing it in other places, it is something which has not been reported.
إذا نقف هنا ونكمل إن شاء الله الدرس القادم صلاة الركعتين والسعي والحلق إن شاء الله. الله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
So we're going to stop here and pick up in the next lesson from praying the two rak'at, sa'i, and the shaving or trimming of the hair in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala.
في أحد الإخوة سأل وصلني سؤال حول أنه أحرم بالعمرة ثم قطعها ورجع سواء إلى بلده أو غير بلده.
So one of the brothers asks, and this is one of the youth, I'm not sure if he's here, he asked this question regarding him. He had assumed ihram for umrah, and then he got ready to perform umrah, but he couldn't go. It got cut off, and he left it, whether he went back to his land or somewhere else.
طبعا هذا الفعل لا يجوز لأنه يجب عليه إتمام العمرة والحج وأتم الحج والعمرة لله.
As he said that this action is something which is not permissible. It is incumbent upon him to complete his umrah, as it's come in the ayah, and let him complete his hajj or his umrah for the sake of Allah.
إن كان يعلم بوجوب الإتمام فعليه الإثم ويجب عليه الاستغفار والتوبة.
If he knew that this was binding upon him, then it is upon him to make tawbah and istighfar of Allah Ta'ala.
ثم إنه على حالين.
And then thereafter he's upon two cases.
إن كان متزوجا وجاء أهله فقد فسدت عمرته.
then if he is married and he thereafter he approached his wife, then his umrah is nullified.
وعليه دم
is upon him to slaughter, sacrifice your
يذبح animal. للفقراء فقراء مكة
and distribute it amongst the people, the poor of Mecca.
ويجب عليه الرجوع ويحرم من الميقات الذي أحرم منه ويؤدي العمرة من جديد.
And he must go back to the place that he assumed ihram from and perform his umrah anew.
وأما إذا لم يأتي أهله
as if he didn't approach his wife
فهو باق على إحرامه إلى الآن
then he is still in a state of ihram right now.
فيجب عليه الرجوع إلى لبس الإحرام.
He must return back to the state wherein he
is. والبعد عن المحظورات الإحرام من الطيب وتغطية الرأس واللباس.
And stay away from all of the mahdurat of ihram, from wearing a cologne and touching his hair and nails, etc.
لأنه لا زال محرما.
Because he's still in a state of ihram.
فيرجع إلى مكة ويأتي بعمرته ويكملها بعد ذلك.
And so he returns back to Mecca. And he goes back to the miqat and he completes his umrah thereafter.
فإن كان عالما بالمحظورات فيجب عليه عن كل جنس محظور فدية.
Then if he is knowledgeable of the mahdurat and he did several of them, then he must do a separate fidya for each mahdur that he did.
فهو عن تغطية رأسه عليه فدية وعن لبسه المخيط فدية. وعن تطيبه إن تطيب فدية.
So for example, if he covered his head, he must do one fidya for that. If he put upon himself a perfume, then he must do one fidya for that. If he did another mahdud, he does another fidya for that.
والفدية إما أن يذبح نسك دم.
So the fidya is either going to be that he slaughters a sacrificial animal.
أو يطعم ستة مساكين.
Or he feeds six poor people.
أو يصوم ثلاثة أيام.
Or he fasts for three separate days.
عن كل محظور فعله.
And for each mahdur that he did, he must do one of these.
وهذا يا إخوة مما ينبغي الانتباه له والعمل عليه والتعلم قبل أن يذهب إلى العبادة.
He says, and this is from that which is أيها الإخوة is incumbent upon us that we know before we embark upon an act of worship.
إذا جاء موسم من مواسم العبادة جاء رمضان تعلم أحكام الصيام.
So when the season of worship comes, for example, the month of Ramadan comes, you learn the rulings of fasting.
إذا جاء العيد تعلم أحكام العيد زكاة الفطر تعلم أحكامها وهكذا.
So when the Eid comes, you learn the rulings of Eid, زكاة الفطر and so on and so forth. You learn the rulings of that and so on and so forth.
إذا ذهبت إلى الحج وأقبلت عليه لا بد من تعلم الأحكام لا تذهب على جهل فتقع في محظورات أنت في غنى عنها.
So when you come to perform Hajj, then you learn the rulings of Hajj. You don't go and embark upon this action in a state of ignorance, and thus you end up falling into one of the mahdurat.
فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يفقهنا وإياكم في دينه.
We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us and you tawfiq.
الله أعلم صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
للاستماع إلى الدروس المباشرة والمسجلة والمزيد من الصوتيات يرجى زيارة شبكة بينونة للعلوم الشرعية على الرابط بينونة.net وجزاكم الله خيراً.